Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. You know, it's almost certain that while you're listening to this, part of your mind is probably thinking about what's next on the to-do list, or maybe something you wish you'd done differently yesterday. It feels like we're always living in two places at once, doesn't it?
It really does.
Well, today we're going to explore perhaps the most powerful remedy for that exact feeling. We're diving into Eckhart Tolle's modern spiritual classic, The Power of Now, a guide to spiritual enlightenment.
Yeah, and this is, well, it's quite a radical book, really, and it feels incredibly relevant today, doesn't it? I mean, we're just seeing so much anxiety, so much stress, this kind of chronic dissatisfaction everywhere.
Absolutely.
And Tolle, he cuts right to the core, asking that fundamental human question, how do we actually stop psychological suffering? Like, right now.
Not someday, but now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He argues that the peace and, you know, the fulfillment we're all searching for, it isn't waiting for us down the road. It's actually accessible instantly, right here in the present moment.
The core problem, as he sees it, is that we're sort of stuck on this mental treadmill. We're convinced happiness is somewhere else, either in the past, which just fuels regret, or maybe in the future, which creates anxiety.
Right. And Tolle basically says that whole way of thinking, that framework, is the fundamental cause of our misery.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes his perspective so, well, compelling, I think, is that his authority doesn't come from academia. It's not theoretical. It comes from his own direct lived experience.
Right. So Eckhart Tolle, born Ulrich Leonard Tolle in Germany, he emerged as this spiritual teacher, not from studying ancient texts necessarily, but from undergoing this incredibly profound personal transformation himself.
Yeah, before this big shift happened, he apparently lived in this state of almost constant, really intense suffering, just deep, deep anxiety and depression. And then when he was 29, he hit this kind of existential rock bottom, a real crisis point.
And that moment, it was sparked by just one thought, wasn't it? I cannot live with myself any longer.
Exactly. And here's the crucial insight he had right then. If the core consciousness, the real him, couldn't tolerate the myself, that suffering egoic mind part well, then they must be two separate things.
That's a huge realization to have just like that in a flash.
It really is. And that understanding apparently caused his consciousness to just withdraw, to stop identifying with that false suffering mind. He describes it as a spontaneous awakening.
Which then led to years of just deep peace and quiet observation, kind of processing what happened.
Mm-hmm. And the significance for the book, for The Power of Now, is that it's not just theory. It's an intensely practical guide based on a state of consciousness that he actually permanently lives in. He literally experienced the end of his own suffering and is basically showing us the way out.
Okay, so let's get into the diagnosis then. Tolle is very direct about it. He says the root cause of all our anxiety, our neuroses, our unhappiness, it's this deep, usually unconscious identification we have with our thinking mind. We actually believe we are that incessant voice in our head.
Right. We mistake the thinking for who we fundamentally are. And that, he says, traps us in what he calls psychological time.
Ah, okay. Explain that difference.
Huh. We need clock time, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, to plan dinner, meet a deadline, catch a train. That's practical, necessary.
Sure.
But psychological time, that's the disease, as he puts it. It's the mental obsession, the constant dwelling on future worries or aspirations, or chewing over past regrets and grievances.
Constantly living mentally in the past or future, basically.
Exactly. And the main thesis, the solution, is actually beautiful in its simplicity. Liberation, freedom from that suffering, is immediately accessible just by shifting our consciousness away from that mental narrative and fully into the present moment, the now.
Because the now is the only reality we ever actually experience.
Precisely. So the book really works like a manual for making that shift. It starts by diagnosing the egoic mind, explaining how it works. Then it introduces concepts like the pain body to help us understand these cycles of emotional pain.
Right.
And finally, it gives us the practical tools, the actual practice of presence, to reclaim our awareness.
Okay, so let's zoom in on that diagnosis first. That idea that we've fundamentally mistaken our identity, he calls the way out of that watching the thinker, right?
Yes, that's the starting point.
Yeah.
He says the biggest obstacle to freedom is that complete, unquestioning identification with the mental chatter, the voice in the head.
Mm-hmm.
And the core practice he gives isn't about trying to stop thoughts because, well, good luck with that. It's impossible.
Right.
It's about becoming the silent witness, the awareness behind the thoughts.
I really like that distinction. You just observe the voice, you notice the thoughts, but without judging them, without getting swept away by them.
Exactly. And that simple act of observing, just noticing, without getting drawn into the drama of the thought, that creates the necessary space. That little gap between the real I, the awareness, and the myself, the thinking mind, that's where you get the first taste of freedom.
Okay, so if the thinking mind is one part of the problem, the other big concept is the pain body.
Ah, yes, the pain body. Such a brilliant concept, I think. He describes it as this kind of semi-autonomous energy field. Mm-hmm. It's made up of all our accumulated past emotional pain, old traumas, unprocessed grief, anger, resentment.
Wow, like a living entity almost.
Sorta, yeah. It lies dormant most of the time, but then something triggers it.
Yeah.
And it wakes up.
And we've all felt that, haven't we? That sudden feeling of sinking into this like emotional black hole that feels way bigger than whatever just happened.
Totally. That's the pain body activating.
Yeah.
And it feeds on negative thinking, on emotional drama.
Yeah.
It actually wants to perpetuate misery because that's its food.
So how do you deal with that?
Well, the way out is exactly the same principle as watching the thinker. Conscious presence. Awareness.
Mm.
When the pain body gets triggered and starts to rise up, you don't fight it. You don't deny it. You certainly don't try to think your way out of it.
It's what do you do?
You just bring your awareness to it. Mm-hmm. You feel the emotion in your body as it's happening, but you observe it with presence. He says the light of your consciousness is what dissolves the darkness of that old energy field. You realize you are the awareness holding the pain. You are not the pain itself.
Okay, that makes sense. Which leads us right into the solution part of the book. Moving deeply into the now. Since all suffering is basically rooted in psychological time, living in the past or future in our heads, the antidote has to be learning to live, to abide in the present moment. Because, I mean, life is literally only ever happening right now, this exact moment.
Yeah.
And to really drive this point home, he offers that incredible, simple, practical exercise. He challenges you, the reader, right now to ask yourself this question. What problem do I have at this exact moment? Huh, yeah. And when you actually stop and ask that, I mean, seriously, 9 times out of 10, maybe even more often, the answer is none.
Right. The stress, the worry, the things we're wrestling with, they're almost always mental projections, fears about what might happen, or regrets about what did happen. It's amazing how that simple question can just ground you instantly.
It really is.
And to help make that grounding more physical, more tangible, he introduces the idea of the inner body.
Ah, okay. What's that about?
So instead of just relying on mental awareness, which can still be a bit abstract, he tells us to direct our attention inward, to actually feel the subtle life force, the energy field that's permeating our entire physical body. Like, can you feel the aliveness in your hands right now? Or your feet? Or just the general sense of energy in your torso?
That's fascinating. So it takes your attention completely away from the mental noise.
Exactly.
And anchors you firmly in a real physical sensation that's happening right now. It's like a somatic shortcut to presence.
Mm-hmm. And it helps you realize you're connected to this deeper intelligence, this aliveness that exists beyond just the thinking mind.
Okay, so presence is key. How does he apply this to something notoriously tricky, like relationships?
Right, enlightened relationships. This chapter 8, I think. He draws a sharp contrast between the typical ego-driven relationship.
Which is?
Well, that's where we unconsciously use the other person to try and fill some sense of lack within ourselves, which inevitably leads to neediness, demands, possessiveness, conflict.
Hmm.
You know the drill.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Versus a connection that comes from a place of presence.
So what does that look like? An enlightened relationship.
It's about connecting from that place of shared stillness, that shared awareness.
Mm-hmm.
It means allowing the other person to just be exactly who they are in this moment without judgment, without needing them to fulfill your psychological gaps or expectations. That, he says, is the basis for real, non-possessive love.
Allowing them to be. That sounds simple, but it's profound.
It really is. And all this kind of culminates in his discussion of the meaning of surrender in chapter 10. And this is a word that gets misunderstood a lot.
Definitely. We usually think of surrender as weakness, like giving up, defeat.
Right. But Tolle clarifies, it's absolutely not that. It's not passive resignation.
But isn't that counterintuitive? I mean, in our culture, we're taught to fight, to overcome obstacles. If you're not resisting difficult circumstances, aren't you just, well, letting bad things happen?
It seems that way, but he defines surrender differently. He calls it the simple but profound wisdom of yielding to the flow of life rather than opposing it. It's about offering no inner resistance to what is. The fighting isn't usually against the external situation itself. It's the mental battle against the reality of the present moment.
Okay. So the resistance is internal.
Yes. When you stop that internal mental fight against what's already here, the suffering dissolves. And paradoxically, it's from that state of non-resistance, of acceptance, that truly intelligent and effective action can actually arise. You're not clouded by negativity or reactivity.
That shift from inner resistance to acceptance. Yeah, that changes everything. Okay, let's maybe recap some of the really core things that run through the whole book. First and foremost, it has to be the illusion of psychological time.
Absolutely. The mind, or rather the ego, the false sense of self, is constantly trying to escape the now. It defines itself by the past, memories, identity, and the future, goals, fears.
Right.
So things like regret, anxiety, worry, they aren't just inevitable parts of life.
Mm-hmm.
He frames them as symptoms of a disease, really, caused by our failure to disengage from psychological time and live in the only time that's real right now.
And theme two flows from that, the tyranny of the mind and ego.
Mm-hmm. The ego, that mind-made self, it actually needs conflict, drama, comparison, separation to maintain a sense of identity. It thrives on problems.
So just recognizing that the ego isn't you, that it's just this false construct, that's the crucial first step towards getting free from it.
Exactly. Disidentification and the antidote, the core solution, theme three, the power of the present moment, the now.
Yeah, that timeless, sacred space, as he calls it, where the thinking mind quiets down and you actually connect with your deeper self, your true being. It's the only place peace can actually be found.
It's the only access point. And finally, that really distinct idea of the pain body and the dissolution of suffering.
Right. Seeing that accumulated emotional pain, that trauma, not as you, but as this kind of energy entity that you can observe.
That allows you to step back. You become the awareness watching the pain body rather than being consumed by it. And it's that presence, that awareness, that ultimately transmutes the pain.
It's powerful stuff. And the book is just packed with these incredibly concise, almost aphoristic lines that really cut through the noise, you know?
Oh, definitely. They really stick with you. Should we highlight a couple?
Yeah, let's do that. I mean, the most fundamental one, the one that sums up the entire framework, has to be, realize deeply that the present moment is all you ever have. Make the NOW the primary focus of your life.
Mm-hmm. That just reframes everything, doesn't it? The present isn't just some stepping stone to get to the future. It's the field where your entire life actually unfolds. It's the only place life happens.
Exactly. And then there's the diagnosis that just simplifies pretty much every anxiety issue imaginable. All negativity is caused by an accumulation of psychological time and denial of the present.
Yeah, and he immediately clarifies, doesn't he? Unease, anxiety, tension, stress, worry, all forms of fear are caused by too much future. Guilt, regret, resentment, grievances, sadness, bitterness, all forms of non-forgiveness are caused by too much past.
That's incredibly clarifying. It means all those corrosive feelings, the anxiety, the guilt, the resentment, they're basically just signals that your mind is living somewhere else in a different time than your body is actually in right now.
Right. The moment you bring your attention fully back into the now, into the present reality, they just dissolve.
Yeah.
Because their cause, psychological time, isn't there anymore.
Amazing. And let's bring back that idea of surrender, because it's so key. Surrender is the simple but profound wisdom of yielding to rather than opposing the flow of life.
Yeah, that really redefines strength, doesn't it? True strength isn't about fighting reality. It's about ending the inner resistance. Yielding intelligently to what is right now is the gateway to peace and genuinely effective action.
Okay, so this all sounds great, you know, philosophically, but let's bring it right down to earth. How do you actually apply this stuff when you're, say, stressing about a work deadline or stuck in traffic or dealing with a difficult person?
Well, okay, take the professional context. Practicing presence is actually the secret sauce for getting into that state of slow.
Yeah. You
know? Forget spiritual enlightenment for a second. Just think performance. When you sit down to write that important email, if you can bring presence to it, all the mental chatter about the five other things you need to do or how badly yesterday's meeting went, it just quiets down.
So you can focus completely.
Exactly. You give 100% of your cognitive resources to the task at hand, to the sentence you are writing right now. That's peak performance right there.
Okay, that makes practical sense. And what about just everyday life, finding joy?
Well, that's where it transforms the mundane. Being present turns simple activities, maybe drinking a cup of tea, feeling the water in the shower, walking outside, feeling the sun on your skin. It turns them into sources of deep contentment and joy.
So you stop chasing happiness in the next big thing.
Yeah. You stop seeking happiness out there somewhere, and you start allowing the peace and joy that are actually already present in the simple act of being alive right here, right now.
And for managing really intense feelings like anxiety or stress?
The application is super direct. When that wave of anxiety hits that fear about the future, the what ifs, the practice, is to immediately bring your attention back to the present moment. Focus on the physical sensation of your breath going in and out, or feel your feet on the ground. Feel your hands.
Grounding yourself in physical reality.
Exactly. It instantly breaks the feedback loop of anxious thinking by anchoring you in the undeniable reality of this moment, which is usually okay. The catastrophe is only happening in your head.
And what about those really tough situations? Things you genuinely cannot change, like a serious illness or losing someone. Where does surrender fit there?
That's where surrender becomes like a life raft. Accepting the reality of the situation, even if it's incredibly painful, doesn't mean you like it or approve of it. But it removes the added layer of psychological suffering that comes from inner resistance, from mentally fighting what is.
So it frees you up.
It frees you up to respond to the challenge with as much clarity, courage, and grace as possible without the extra burden of mental torture caused by resisting reality. It gives you an inner stability, even when the outer world is chaotic.
Wow. Okay. So reflecting on all this, what really stood out for you? What was the most surprising or impactful takeaway?
For me, I think it's the sheer simplicity and yet revolutionary nature of the core message. You are not your mind. The realization that the path to peace doesn't require years of complex practices or adopting intricate beliefs, but fundamentally just requires a shift in identification, the shift in attention. That feels incredibly empowering.
Yeah, I agree. That really struck me too. It's not about achieving something in the future. It's about recognizing something that's already here.
Exactly. Peace, fulfillment, freedom. They aren't distant goals. They are present realities available right now, just obscured by the noise of the mind. This book, The Power of Now, it's really a practical manual pointing directly towards that intelligence, that boundless peace that just naturally emerges when we stop identifying with the thinking mind and align ourselves with the present moment, realizing we are the conscious presence behind it all.
A powerful guide indeed.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.